1320 WILS, 621 on a Friday evening in Lansing. Thanks for joining us. It is now official. It didn't just seem unusually hot last month. July was, in fact, the hottest month on record in the continental U.S. In fact, the first 7 months of this year were the warmest ever recorded. That's according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. But with a day like today, was it all just an anomaly, and are we now returning to normal conditions? To find out, I'm joined by Henry Pollack. He's a University of Michigan professor of geophysics, one of the University of Michigan scientists who contributed to the climate reports issued by the United Nations-sponsored panel that shared the 2007 Nobel Prize, Peace Prize, that is, with former Vice President Al Gore. Henry's also a scientific advisor to Gore's Climate Reality Project. Henry, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Nice to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
So if I remember correctly, Al Gore's 2006 documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, was focusing on this increasing CO2 levels in the atmosphere, and essentially saying that is leading to global warming. So is that what you would say is causing the heat we saw last month and the heat we've seen at the beginning of this year?
I think it's absolutely the case. Even since in the years since The Inconvenient Truth came out, the carbon dioxide continues to grow year by year and in an inexorable climb. And we see no remediation from that in the near future.
We saw extremely cold temperatures, though, this winter in Europe. So in a sense, this is not an entirely global phenomenon, is it?
No, and global warming never means that every point on the globe warms. It means some places warm, some places warm more than average, some less than average, and a few might even cool. But on average, the globe is warming.
What does that say then for Michigan for the rest of the year, for this winter? Do you expect the same kind of surprisingly mild winter we had last year?
I'm not in the business of predicting the future, but I will say this, that with the first 7 months and now a half of the eighth month already being a hot month, it's very likely that this year will be the all-time warmest year since temperatures were being registered in the late 19th century. So we have just an ordinary fall and winter. I still think this will be the warmest year on record because of what's already behind us.
Okay, now CO2 levels, from what we know, they just continue going up year after year, and we really expect that to just continue unabated now?
Unless there is major changes made in our industrial economy and in that of the rest of the world, the carbon dioxide is climbing at 2 to 3 parts per million every year. It's accelerating in its rate of increase. And since they started making measurements in 1957, there hasn't been a down year yet. So my guess is that it's going to keep climbing for several more years.
Can you, in a simple way, tell me why is it that these higher CO2 levels are causing these higher temperatures?
As heat tries to escape from Earth in the infrared wavelengths, carbon dioxide in the atmosphere absorbs those wavelengths. And so the carbon dioxide serves as a blanket, as a heat-trapping layer. And the more and more carbon dioxide we pump into it, the more heat is being trapped. The atmosphere actually is transparent to the incoming radiation from the sun. That's in the visible part of the spectrum. But it has this absorption on the outgoing radiation from the Earth in the infrared. So it's, mm-hmm. it's like a very effective blanket that's getting more effective every year.
So the efforts we're now making to move to a more efficient use of fuel and so on, do they really stand a chance at addressing the issue, or would it take a complete kind of industrial shutdown of a sort to really begin to make these levels drop off?
I don't think it'll take an industrial shutdown at all. Even this year, U.S. emissions were actually declining slightly, partly due to the economy and partly due to the alternative energy sources and conservation. But I think that we'll find it far easier to make the transition to non-carbon-based fuels once we get started. I mean, already we're seeing much more increased wind energy in Michigan over in the west side of the state. There's a big wind farm going in Mason County. And this is just the beginning. And so I'm actually optimistic that we're going to find this transition easier than anyone had imagined.
No kidding. Even with countries like India and China now developing at such a fast rate, and we know they're going to be using a lot of fuel, probably producing an enormous amount of pollution, you still are optimistic globally?
Well, I am. Of course, you make the important point that there are still economies that are growing based on coal. But China, for example, is the leader in alternative energy. They have more wind power and more solar power manufacturing than the U.S. does. So even as they're growing in their energy needs, they're also trying to generate that energy with non-coal-based power.
How much hotter do you think it'll get before things, if they ever will, reverse themselves? Could we see temperatures even way up beyond 110 degrees and so on here in Michigan in the coming years?
Well, I'm not in the business of prediction, but just as we saw temperatures exceeding 100 for a few days last month, one can imagine that temperatures, the average temperature is probably going to go up another 2 to 3 degrees Fahrenheit. And so my guess is that the extreme temperatures might do that as well. But that's just a very loose, extrapolation into the future. But I don't see them going down as long as we continue to enhance the greenhouse effect.
But the CO2 levels, they've been going up for, what, decades now, right?
Yes, that's right.
Now, to actually reverse that, I mean, are we maybe decades from now going to only be able to begin that process?
Well, let me say that even if we were to go cold turkey now and stop emitting CO2, we would still have climate change because of all the CO2 we've already put into the atmosphere. And so it takes a long time, many decades to centuries, for what we have already done to the atmosphere to work its way out. So we can expect climate change no matter what. But the commitment to climate change that I'm describing from what we've already done to the atmosphere probably only means another 2 degrees Fahrenheit over this century. If we continue to pump it up, then we can expect more.
I guess the good news is we're not doomed.
I think not. No. It'll take some considerable adaptation. None of us really enjoy these hot summers. At least I don't think so. And so, nevertheless, I think we're in for some warmer times, and we'll have to kind of adjust our lifestyles to that reality.
I've got to get out there and buy some more shorts. Henry Pollack, University of Michigan Professor of Geophysics. Henry, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much.
And we'll be right back to talk about General Motors CEO Dan Akerson's claim today, or this week, that they're going to be developing a 200-mile a charge vehicle very soon, an electric vehicle. Or at least that's the game plan. How can that happen? We'll find out next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.